Underneath the sky of blue, it's a time of choosing. Everybody's holding on to what they're losing. But it all works out okay if you give your life away to the one who's holding back. It's a promise that we'll last.
You're fearing Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 21st, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. And that question is plural. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. Let's see, we're in Hebrews, and it's going to be chapter 11, read by Alexander Scorby. Hebrews, chapter 11.
Chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Okay, I see Jan's here. Jan, do we have any questions or announcements?
We have had 0 questions submitted for tonight's program.
Okay, any announcements that you know of?
No, I do not have any announcements.
Okay, let's get the word out. We're looking to get some interviews, so if anybody maybe can contact anybody out there that has a podcast or whatever, a radio program, and would like to interview us, we're looking to do that. So everybody should kind of be looking out there, see if they can't make contact with someone and lead them over to Jan, and Jan will make the arrangements. We do have potentially 2 interviews coming up, kind of waiting on both of them. I know Jan is waiting on one, and I'm waiting on one directly. So we'll see where that goes. Also, a quick question, Terry. We have a meeting coming up. I know Jan, I think you said it was on Wednesday with Michael.
I thought it was Wednesday at 2 p.m., but I haven't seen confirmation of that.
Are you aware of this, Terry?
Yes, and okay. I thought that was sounded good.
Okay.
Make
sure that he's available for that day.
Okay.
They had mentioned something about they were still having some problems with some things in order to do the final update. And, the only the only things that we kind of created in some sense that Collett kind of put together was the different, I think, the different courses that we have. There's a couple of different ways we did the courses.
I think you're right.
Are you aware of anything else that was like some kind of a block that connects to the system that was created?
Oh, my. There's a lot of little things, and some of them are buried in Drupal. And I'm not really good at weeding all those out. Like the letter that Jan wants to change is in Drupal at a very deep level, and
yeah,
I haven't found it yet.
But that wasn't something that was rewritten to connect as a block in order to produce anything, because it's open source. They have lots of different blocks, and I forget what they call them. You know, what would you call them?
Well, there's blocks, modules, and other things.
Okay, so
content,
I know we've
structures.
We've created a couple of them, and plugged them in. And I believe the ones that we actually created were just the courses. Are you familiar or aware of we created any other block that does something? I mean, pretty much everything else we needed, Drupal was available with. And actually, the courses they were available with also, but I guess we had created some blocks. So maybe you could look into that and try to discover what exactly is created and what isn't, because there's going to be a problem in updating, and it's going to get very, very much involved in order to make the update. And it might be much more simple just to send our all the necessary information we have. What would you call it? Well, to get to the highest Drupal set up and then move everything over and get the, what do they call that? The, goodness, I can't think of the names of these things. But there's two things to move over. One is the site, and the other is, the database. That's what it is. So to move the database, those two things shouldn't be a problem. And we may have to rebuild the courses, and I think that's the only thing we may run into trouble with.
Okay.
So see what you can figure that out, and if we can't figure out exactly what it is, we'll talk to Michael about it and see where we're going to go. And we are looking for some volunteers that at least one or maybe more that are educators, people who can help us work out with these courses. I mean, pretty much everything is there. We just have to kind of move it. But if we're going to move it, I'd like to do better with our questions and the way we process the questions. So if anybody out there is an educator, hopefully retired or something, or has some time and interested to work with us on that, we'd appreciate that. Okay, with that, Jan, you said you have nothing. Terry, you got anything?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right, another thing we're doing is we have three states, and I know one is New York, and I think the second one is Pennsylvania, and I think there's a third state out there, and that we have books to every single sheriff. Now, we have a campaign for sheriffs going, campaign for constitutional sheriffs, and I think it's working out pretty good because, the sheriffs here in New York have had the books for quite some time now, and we've had contact with at least one sheriff that seems to have educated themselves a bit. Been looking into the book. I know my sheriff also, so we have at least two. And I got to believe that they're all at least kind of breezing through the books, taking a look at that, and maybe finding some interest, hopefully. So I want to make contact with these sheriffs. Once we have an entire state that has all the sheriffs that have the book, I want to make a direct contact with these sheriffs, offer them access into our course, Government by Consent. Court Access and the Common Law, because that particular course really gets down into the depth of the Common Law and also the Constitution, and it also has a good focus on the sheriff. And I think it would be extremely beneficial if the sheriffs were to take that course. So we're going to offer sheriffs and their deputies those courses for free. And we're working on that right now. And I believe Jan and Terry, I think you guys are working on trying to get that up and going so that sheriffs can join and be able to sign in as a sheriff or a deputy. We're working on that, right?
Right.
Okay. And so I think this could be very powerful. So what we're looking for is anyone that is interested in kind of really working in their state. We can give you a list of sheriffs that we know have the books in a particular state. And then, you know, maybe they can get a campaign going, working with other people or whatever, to try to make sure we get books to all of these sheriffs within the state. And once we get the books to the sheriffs, all the sheriffs in the state, then we'll try to make contact with them. You know, making contact, we've tried to make contact with sheriffs early on, and I think we were polluted by county, district attorneys or whatever you call them, the county attorneys anyway. And because they always go, you know, anybody in the county that has a legal question or concern, an elected individual, they would go talk to that county attorney in order to get some advice and information and interpretation and so on and so forth. But once they have the book, hopefully they're going to get to the point to realize, hey, they need to understand this themselves. You don't need to go to a county attorney or any bar attorney in order to get advice. You need to figure that out for yourself. And in order to do that, you have to have an education, a proper education. And that's what we're offering. Between the book, Government by Consent, and getting into the court access and the common law course, I think those are two powerful tools that would prepare these sheriffs to really get a backbone, to get the knowledge. And I would think I'd call the backbone is really when you have two, three, four, five sheriffs working together, backing each other up. Now you've got a backbone. But to do that, you have to have the knowledge. You have to have be on the right page. And that's how we're going to protect ourselves from government, ultimately. It's the sheriff. So a properly educated sheriff is key. So we have to get some campaigns going here for the sheriff. So anybody that's interested in really kind of working in their state and maybe contacting individuals in the state, you know, we'd give them a list, phone numbers, and they can make the calls to all the people, the members in their particular state, see if you can get them interested in donating X amount of dollars so that you can send a book out to the sheriff in their county and or the county next door and so on and so forth, and to get the books out to every sheriff in the state. At the same time, of course, you know, we're pushing for all of the committees of safety to make sure that their sheriff has a book. So there could be a collaboration to someone who is kind of spearheading that movement within their state to get this job done and then get the people building committees of safety on board with that also. You know, they could take some collections and maybe be able to pay for a couple of books, you know. Anyway, this is something we really need to be pushing on. Education is the key. Building committees of safety. We're also looking for more district leaders. We still need district leaders. And district leaders are the individuals who kind of would be the committee of correspondence for National Liberty Alliance, working with the committees of safety within their district. We have 10 districts. We broke the United States up into 10 districts. And so getting that communications to the individuals who are building committees of safety in their county, offering them all of the necessary tools, assistance, and advice, and anything they need in order to get themselves up and going and building a nice, strong committee of safety, and being educated in order to properly, have government by consent. You really can't have government by consent if you're not educated. You know, there have been some people who tried to put the cart before the horse and trying to do things prematurely that they're just not capable of doing. They don't realize it. But, you know, you can't enforce something you don't know what you're enforcing. You can't advise something you don't know what you're advising. You know, you have to know the Constitution. You have to know the basics of common law. You know, you have to know common law, understand the common law, which is a pretty simple thing. It's nothing really difficult or complex, you know. So, okay, I guess we'll move over to Q&A. Anybody wants to get into the queue? Let me see if I can move over there myself without shutting things down. Okay, we've got two people in the queue. So if anybody else wants to get in there, now's the time to do that. We'll take our first person. It looks like Mike, what state are you from? You got the mic, go right ahead.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
I spoke with you a little bit last week about a court case I had.
Which one was that?
Regarding challenge. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit of echo from my headphones. Let me see if I can adjust these a little bit.
Is that with the issue with the criminal charges for a weapon?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I don't know if you heard later on, I came up with a couple of things. I don't know if you had left early or anything, but there's quite a few different strategies or things you can, really kind of work into your case. But go ahead, tell us what happened.
Well, I did as you advised, and I asked if I had been indicted by a grand jury, and she just kind of gave me a puzzled look, and she said, not that I'm aware of, it's just a misdemeanor.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. These
people,
misdemeanors, think that they can put you in jail. They think that they don't have to do anything lawful, that the Constitution doesn't protect you from anything, from going to jail, as long as it's a year or under. They think that, they think whatever they want to think. These are not federal charges, right? This is state charges, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Well, you need to shut that court down and say they don't have a case. And you are in the course, right? You've been taking the course.
Yes, I am. I'm a couple of weeks into the course, so, I've got a ways to go. But as far as the next step, would a good idea be to do a show cause by special appearance?
When are you looking to go to the next hearing?
I believe it's October 2nd. I asked for 6 weeks,
Well, that's good. You got some time. Mm-hmm. I'll throw a couple of things at you. You need to start researching things. You need to push heavy on the course.
Okay.
And remember, it's always good to watch the visual first, because the visual, you're putting it in numerous different ways. You're hearing it and you're seeing it and connected and engaged much stronger than listening to it on an MP3. So you should go through the course once. You should go through it reasonably fast. I mean, you don't need to take notes or anything, because all the notes are already there, in the sense of if you're following along and you're flipping around as we go through things, you'll see all your notes are already there, in the sense that you have, for instance, on, education starts here, on the table of contents, okay, you'll have everything. And the key thing is being able to get around the table of contents. The different parts of your court case, you'll need certain information, certain paperwork. And once you become familiar with all this, and you become familiar by going through the course, then you'll be able to find these things easily. I know when I took a course, which was done by a lawyer, what was the name of that course? I think it was Juris Dictionary, wasn't it? What was the name of that, Gerard?
Juris Dictionary, yes.
Juris Dictionary. Now, we took that, and it was done by a lawyer. He didn't touch anything on common law.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really touch much of anything on the Constitution.
I'm familiar with that course.
But anyway, with that course, I really buckled down, and I was able to go through that course in a weekend. I mean, I started on a Friday evening after I got off work, and that was it. Until Sunday night, I worked through that. And so I became very familiar with everything that was there. I took all my notes, I printed everything out, and I created a couple of books and three-ring binders. And then whenever I was writing a case from that point, I would go through the reference to that book. Well, it's the same thing here with this page. You got all this reference, and you as we go through the course, it'll all come together on you. And then as you're going through a case, you'll be able to draw out the necessary information. After a while, you won't even really refer much to a lot of this stuff, although, after some years anyway. And, maybe for the forms, you're always hitting into the forms to see how people write forms. And you kind of make your own forms. I try to stick to the same, kind of framework that a form is already set up for. I don't try to reinvent the wheel or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I make it my own, And you can just use the form as it is also. I mean, it's no big deal. It doesn't... these forms do not normally... At least I've never seen anything in there that really... would take you outside of the realm of common lore. So, but, you know, if there's a word or a phrase in there, you just change it if it's problematic. But anyway, that's one of the things you should do. And as soon as you finish that, that's when you put the MP3s on. Because you listen to them over and over and over again. And again, you may not be really paying attention 100%, but you'll pick out a lot that'll go into the brain. And even when you're not paying attention, it's going into the brain anyway. So everything all is working to really kind of get you going to understand things. But here's the positions you want to take. Number one, you want to push extremely heavy, think about this, on the U.S. Supreme Court decision, which took place, I believe, this year, earlier this year, where the Supreme Court said that the Second Amendment is enforced. You can't require anyone, you can't take away the Second Amendment. I think they even went as far as saying that you can't even require a permit or anything that requires you to report something. Gerard, are you familiar with the details of that decision, or anybody else here familiar with the details on that U.S. Supreme Court decision on the Second Amendment? It was this year.
No, I don't remember the particulars. That was already like a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was earlier this year, but it could have been last year. I don't think it was. I think it was earlier this year. New York went into a tizzy over
there. Well, we had a couple big things happen all at the same time, if you remember, right? Yeah. There was a lot of things that were coming through.
So anyway, you want to look into that, get that court case, make that point, get the details on that. And as a matter of fact, go find that court case. And when you do find that court case, you know, you get the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, drop us a copy. You look for a PDF copy and drop us a copy.
Okay.
Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. That'll save me the time of searching it out. It doesn't take long, you know. I mean, you go through your search engines. It's unbelievable how fast you can find things. Every once in a while, you get a little problem. It might take 20 minutes or a half hour to get the right words to find something. But generally speaking, it comes quickly. But, yeah, Second Amendment, U.S. Supreme Court decision, Second Amendment, recent, or 2023, and then try 2022. Maybe it was last year. I don't know. So that's one thing. Then you want to digest that case. And you want to then quote that case, and you want to write a paper now at this point, because you're now going to go up against them. They don't have an indictment. That is huge. That is so huge. I mean, they cannot. Is this a state court?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's so huge. I mean, hey, you know, you can move this to federal court for cause. That's it. There's no indictment. They can't touch you. Okay, so you want to first give them the opportunity to do the right thing. You want to educate them. So you want to quote the United States Supreme Court concerning the weapon, number one. Number two, you want to talk about there's a principle of law. In order for there to be a crime, there's got to be an injured party. Who was injured by me carrying a weapon? I didn't point it at anyone. I didn't shoot anyone. Well, I didn't frighten anyone. You know, tell me, who's injured? And the other thing is criminal intent. I have no criminal intent. I'm just an individual. I trust the United States Supreme Court's decision as far as an educational process is concerned to understand what the Second Amendment is. And I read the Second Amendment. It's pretty clear to me. So there's no intent of me committing a crime. So there's two principles of law. Now, they are principles of common law. But I'll tell you what. You just pick them up, bring them up as principles of law. Okay. Because remember, even regular system runs through certain principles of law, and it's not written down, okay? The fact that an individual is innocent until proven guilty, that's a principle of law. That's a common law. That comes from the common law. To my knowledge, there's no statute concerning anything that says anything near that. And yet it's upheld in the courts. Okay? The fact that criminal intent is one of the things that has to be proven. And again, I'm not aware of any statutes that say that, but I do know that that is a principle of law. That is a common law rule. It's a maxim. It is what it is. So you don't have to get into the word common law. You can say there's a principle in law that in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. Who's the injured party? Number one. Number two, you know, you got the Supreme Court ruling that you're really resting upon. Actually, I would make that number one. And then get the fact that there's no injured party. So you have a right to have this weapon. The United States Supreme Court says so. There's a court case out there, and if you search it out, you'll find it in, where I got this. Do a search, quick search, control, find, foot. Okay, footnotes, okay? If you click on footnotes, okay, you will find in here, you'll be able to go through here and find some Supreme Court cases that you can use. And when you go through the footnotes and you open that up and you put all those files onto your computer, you can do a content search as much as you could do a label search, a name of a file search. And what you're looking for is that, and you'll find this probably under IRS cases, that an individual has the right to depend and rely on the decisions of the United States Supreme Court. And you can't hold that against them if they're relying on what we have to say. I'm kind of paraphrasing on how it went, but that's what you're looking for. Maybe by next week, if you don't find it, maybe I'll try to think where, and maybe I can find it, and I'll have that for you. So again, that's another thing you want to do, a Supreme Court ruling on that. And then you want to make the big, big stink about the fact that you cover this by the Bill of Rights, that there has to be an indictment. You can't come out after me for any criminal charge, whether it's a misdemeanor or whatever it is, without an indictment. And without an indictment, that's a requirement. And therefore, without an indictment, this court needs to cease and desist. And you have to think about your wherefore clause. I'll try to help you out with that, too. And some of the language. But basically, get that together. And once you play with that, bring it together in a writing of some type. And if you can put it together by next week, before next Monday, you can send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org. And I'll have a little more insight on what you're thinking, what you're seeing, and how you're putting these things together. And maybe I, again, can help you. This is a good case for other people to learn on. This is important. No indictment, they ain't got nothing. They can't do nothing.
Hey, John, just real quick in relationship to what you're talking about, I got a NBC News article here about that ruling. And mm-hmm. It said the Supreme Court ruled Thursday that, of course, this is in the past, June 23rd. Thursday, that the Constitution provides a right to carry a gun outside the home, issuing a major decision on the meaning of the Second Amendment. The 6-3 ruling was the court's second important decision on the right to keep and bear arms. In a landmark 2008 decision, the court had said for the first time that the amendment safeguards a person's right to possess firearms, although the decision was limited to keeping guns at home for self-defense. The court has now taken that a ruling to the next step after years of ducking the issue and applied the Second Amendment beyond the limits of the homeowner's property in a decision that could affect the ability of state and local governments to impose a wide variety of firearms regulations. No, never mind, could affect it. It does affect. But anyway, mm-hmm. the decision, which came as Congress advanced the most significant gun violence prevention legislation in almost 30 years, involved a New York law that requires showing a special need to get a permit to carry a concealed handgun in public. And that's what we all had to do to get that carry concealed. The state bans carrying handguns openly, but allows residents to apply licenses to carry them concealed. The law at issue said, however, that permits could only be granted only to applicants who demonstrated some special need, a requirement that went beyond the general desire for self-protection. Gun owners in that state had sued, contending that the requirement made it virtually impossible for ordinary citizens to get the necessary license. They argued that the law turned the Second Amendment into a limited privilege and not a constitutional right. The court agreed with the challengers and struck down the heightened requirement, but it left the door opening to allowing states to impose limits on carrying guns. So you know what that means?
That's the impression of that bar attorney who wrote that it left the door open. I don't think that they did. And again, you cannot, don't rely on anything written online by a bar attorney. Don't rely on it at all. Or even a person, anybody. It doesn't matter. Even me. Don't just rely on anything that I or anyone might say. You need to go down a rabbit hole and look at it for yourself and interpret for yourself.
Well, first of all, I didn't get finished reading it, and it talks about Justice Clarence and what he says.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because this article can help you find other things.
Well, this article is NBC News, so they can only bullshit so far.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know that the Supreme Court had a case, and I know it was this year. All that information is good with these guys, right?
Right. Well, you said Justice Thomas said something about it?
Let me see. The constitutional right to bear arms in public for self-defense is not a second-class right subject to an entirely different body of rules than the other Bill of Rights guarantees, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote in the majority opinion. We know of no other constitutional right that an individual may exercise only after demonstrating to the government officers some special need. I love him. Mm-hmm. In the ruling's most far-reaching language, Thomas said concern for public safety isn't enough to justify new gun controls. The government must affirmatively prove that its firearm regulation is part of the historical tradition that delimits the outer bounds of the right to keep and bear arms, he wrote. Experts on gun law said that part of the ruling sets a high bar for further gun restrictions, and it does. Because they gotta prove it before they make the ruling, not make the ruling and worry about it.
Drop that into mail at nationallibertyalliance.org so everyone else can get it and do.
It goes on. Chief Justice John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, said the ruling does not bar states from imposing licensing required for carrying handguns for self-defense, such as fingerprinting, background checks, and mental. They had to preserve all that shit, right?
What's the name of the article? And is it on?
I put a link in your Skype box.
Yeah, but if you can make the name of the article, then other people can try to search.
Okay, it's let's see here. Guns in America. And this is NBC News. Yeah, NBC News.
So NBC News, Guns in America, and it should probably pop up for a new
Supreme movie. Court allows carrying of firearms in public in a major victory for gun rights groups. That's the name of the article.
Okay, there you go. And so that you can look up too, Mike.
Okay.
Also, bear in mind, we're going to read this in the Second Amendment about it not being infringed. And remember, no right can be infringed. That's key. So this really goes through every right we have. But it's particularly in the Second Amendment that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You can't infringe upon my right. You can't require me to have a permit. You can't require me to do anything. You know, I can appreciate the fact that you want to do a search picture. I'm not some insane nut that's going to shoot up the whole world or something, you know.
Right.
But that's about it. And if you're going to do that, we're not talking waiting a month or so. We're talking, we got computers. Everything's instantaneous. The whole world knows about everything instantaneously. So you can discover whether I'm a criminal or a problem or I'm a probation or I'm an escaped criminal or whatever the case may be. You can find that out right away on your search. So again, that anything that would infringe upon that. Okay, right. You want to make a case about that? And
okay.
Go ahead. What do you want?
I was just going to mention that I don't have the case law in front of me, but I did see a Supreme Court decision that had said that you can't change a right into a privilege and then charge for it.
There you go.
I think
that's a good one, and that's one of the ones I was going to tell you to try to find inside the footnotes that we have here. We got quite a few of them inside the footnotes, and if you push around the IRS stuff, and anything that talks about the IRS, it's probably where you'll find some good stuff. That people have a right to rely on what the United States Supreme Court says. And by the way, fella, that's your boss. You know, so whatever judge you're talking to, your boss says this. You know. Uh-huh. I mean, you don't want to put it in a nice way, and you don't want to, assault the person with...
You know what he has going in his favor? Think about it. The Supreme Court just passed a law that basically negated all the state laws, and they don't know if it negated all of them or some of them, so guess what? They don't know what to do.
It negated all of them because, again, it can't be infringed. You have a right to protect yourself, a right to carry a weapon.
Just the language of what they put out on the bill. Is enough. You know what I mean? So they're not gonna be so robust in defending it now because they're not even sure where they're gonna go with it. How much they're gonna try to violate it and stretch it and massage it, right? So now here he comes into court and says, I don't need a license, right? This is the case. Jeez.
Look, when you say something and they can't answer, you got them. Okay? So when you said that in court and they really couldn't answer concerning the indictment, I don't think we did get one. You know, you got them. You got them. Okay? You just hit a nail. And you need to really push that nail in deeper. Let me make a couple other points here. Let me ask you, how did they find out that you had a weapon?
Oh, I used a McDonald's McBathroom, and apparently my gun wasn't covered up well enough, and somebody, one of the customers, saw it and called the sheriffs.
And the sheriff was the one that came after you?
Yeah, sheriff.
What state is this again?
Excuse me?
What state are you in again?
California.
Well, there you go, California. Okay, I got that. Oh, man, that rots that you don't have a sheriff that at least understands that. Okay, so the other thing is, the sheriff comes, and they claim that you have a weapon. Was the witness there to confirm that? Did they stick around?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah,
now, did they search you? Did you get to your car? Maybe you left it in your car.
Oh, I was sitting in my car when they came out. I was waiting for a phone call, so I was sitting in the car, and two sheriffs walked up. I think they were both sheriffs. At least one was, one on my on the right side of my car, and the other one on the left. And they were knocking on the window and asking me if I had a gun. And I didn't want to answer them. I told them I stand on the Fifth Amendment. And they opened my door, pulled me out of the car.
Okay, right there is a problem. Unless they had the person as a witness, you know, saying this, and it probably was there, probably, I don't know. It's just another issue you want to dig deeper into to find out what's going on, because they didn't have a right to search your car, to take you out or anything. So now let's go into some other important things here. It's the Fifth Amendment here that requires an indictment by a grand jury. And let's read this. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime. The key word is an infamous crime. Mm-hmm. Unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. Okay, so they cannot try you for anything without the indictment. That's number one. The other thing is that the key here is infamous crime, because they're going to try to make them, this is just a misdemeanor. It's nothing. It's okay. It's just a misdemeanor. We don't need to get an indictment for that. Well, do I face a jail sentence here? Well, it could be up to a year, but it wouldn't be much longer than a year, blah, 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 blah. Well, right there, okay, that's it. It could be a day in jail. Right there, they need to get an indictment. Why? Because if you go into Black's Law, and you look up for infamous crime. An infamous crime is a crime. It's not the crime itself that makes it infamous, and this is what it actually says, and I may be paraphrasing a little bit, but it's not the crime itself that makes it infamous, but it's the penalty of the crime that makes it infamous. Okay. Ah. So that's the key to the meaning of those words, and I would make sure my paper, I would write a paper and get it in as soon as you can. It might be a couple of weeks, because you really have to work on it. Maybe we'll help you a little bit on it. But the thing is, you want to get it in before your 6 weeks is up and before you go into court. You want it to proceed, get before, uh-huh. before you get there. Now you have all the, and you want to serve it, you want to file it into a court, you want to serve it upon the prosecutor, and then at the end you're going to demand that this case be dismissed, period, end of subject, okay? And if they refuse to do it, then you move it to federal court for cause, and you have a wherefore clause, and now you're going to look for money, okay?
Okay.
And now you'll start going after them.
Okay. Now, should my next appearance, should it be something I initiate and go in under special appearance, or
always
do I just go to the next court date
always,
as it is?
Always go in your first words out of your mouth, Your Honor, I'm here. Under a special appearance. I'm here as a special appearance to test the
jurisdiction.
Well, not only the jurisdiction, everything, you know.
Okay.
But the jurisdiction, the venue, everything. They do have the venue, but you know, you're testing Well, let's start with the jurisdiction, but you're also testing the fact that they have a right to charge you with a crime without a an indictment. That's the key.
Right.
That is the super key right there. Okay.
Okay.
And you're not going to wait now for them to continue on and to get to maybe go out to try to get an indictment or maybe to try to and you know what? You really got to keep attuned to this. And you got, I don't know how you would try to find this out, you got to do a brainstorming on this, if they're trying to get an indictment for you now. Because if they are and you find out, you want to go down to the court and you want to request the fact that I'd like to talk with the grand jury. And so that you could bring in your position and thoughts.
Because
this guy's in there for his ham sandwich and he will get his ham sandwich. You know?
Okay.
So that's something you want to kind of try to figure out if you can find out to somehow one way or the other. You know, you might want to find out if there's a grand jury in session and how long they'll be in session for, you know. Some juries are in session for quite some time. And, you know, and being in session doesn't mean that they're there every day. They may come maybe a couple of times a week or once a week or a couple of times a month, depending on, you know, what's going on. It's not like they're there every day, 8 hours a day for a long period of time. And if it's that busy where they are like that, then I would imagine that a grand jury would be sitting no longer than a week or so. I would imagine people need to get back to work, you know. So, but, you know, if you can discover if there's a grand jury sitting, how long they've been sitting, how long do they normally sit for, well, then you can kind of maybe, if you think it's necessary, kind of take a shot in the dark and say, hey, I want to go talk to the grand jury. But, again, I don't know. That's going to be a tough one to figure out. Okay.
Right.
Or you can demand to the prosecutor, you can ask the prosecutor. Well, again, before you do any of this stuff, you want to really push this forward and move it to, and so that when your next time in, you're going to move it to federal court for cause. And at that point in time, you're going to ask the prosecutor, are you pursuing a grand jury indictment on me now? And, you know, see how he responds.
They probably don't do them for that, for misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
You probably get the prosecutor to sign the paper, you know, do you...
It's a contradiction of their way of their way of disjustice or misjustice or injustice, whatever one you want to use.
Also, I don't know if you realize it, but in New York State, the maximum time on a misdemeanor can be 2 years. Everything, oh, it's just a misdemeanor, and you know, if you get two misdemeanors, that's 4 years. You know what I mean? So they're more serious than you think they are. I had a guy that had some trouble.
If they got a misdemeanor and they're going to get 2 years, then at least I would think they'd follow their own rules and get an indictment. Because, again, they claim, this is the claim that they have, that they can put you in jail without an indictment as long as it's no longer than 1 year. That's their claim.
Well, they almost never give the maximum on a misdemeanor unless they're really pissed at you. But on a gun charge, they might do that, you know, make a point.
Yeah, and he's got a great case here because he's got a lot of ammo he can go in on now. You know?
A lot of ammo, and his timing is perfect because they just made this ruling, and so not everybody's sure where this could go.
So anyway, these are the things you pursue. And you want to make the big thing, like I said, about look at the Second Amendment very carefully, you know. The bottom line is that it's infringing upon your right to require me to have a permit or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you want to push hard on the Fifth Amendment concerning the infamous crime and an indictment by a grand jury. And you might want to look also into the Fourth Amendment to see if you can work anything out of that, because if you're just the guy sitting in the car and they're presuming it's you, the guy... they had no right to continue to go further than as they did. You wasn't even driving, you know. But, you know, again, you got to find out if the witness was there, that sort of weapon and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you what, I would even consider at this point, if you're going to sue, you want to sue the officers for false arrest. Okay, they should know the law. They should know that you have a right to carry a weapon.
Yeah.
Don't know that? Oh, well, hey, you know, So I would consider them as part of the lawsuit, too.
False arrest and probably also false imprisonment. I was in jail for 8 hours.
Okay, well, there you go. And that has a value. Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, every hour in jail. I mean, time really slows down when you're locked up.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, as far as the moving to federal court, should I do that on my next visit up, or do I wait and see what the outcome?
You want to give them the opportunity to
okay.
do the thing. You got to write the paper, get it in, and go in. I'm here by special appearance. Did you get my paper, Your Honor? I challenged numerous things.
Okay.
Now, the prosecutor, they need to respond to all that, and you'll have that little bit of an argument. You're going to do your homework. You don't really have to learn that much because it's clear.
Uh-huh.
You have the maxims that you're using. You've got the Constitution as far as the Bill of Rights is concerned. You've got the Supreme Court decision. And they're going to come in with a bunch of, dribble, this, that, or the other thing. They're going to say, the court case for this and the court case for what does that have to do with my case? And remember, whenever they use a court case, they'll try to come to, because lawyers talk this way. It's so ridiculous. As if they make the law, as if the judges make the law, because one judge relies on another trial judge's decision by saying, well, they did it over there, so we can do it over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they applied this, and they put that, and they got, so we can apply this, and we can do that. Mm-hmm. And the key thing to that, again, another principle of law, is the thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. So that's a key point. Mm-hmm. Again, another maxim.
Okay.
And so, it doesn't matter what's in that court case. It has nothing to do with me. Okay? My court case is unique on its own. Just one little tittle off, one little dot, one little tittle, and it's different.
Uh-huh.
And just though, there's no court case that's similar. That's exact. So it's just not going to happen. But they like to do that. And then, but the key thing is this, but by the way, I got the United States Supreme Court, and that's your boss, and they trump all of these decisions by trial court judges, because that's what they claim the common law is, decisions of trial court judges. And just think how screwed up that whole system is. I mean, they can get anything at that point. That's what they're claiming the law is. That's what they're claiming. That's common law. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So anyway.
I agree.
Okay, so you've got a lot of homework to do, and you got to keep up on your thing. You got 6 weeks. You could do this course in 6 weeks if you buckle down. I don't know if you got the time to do a course a day, or at least a half a course a day.
Yeah, I think I can get through a course a day. I'm going to push for it anyway. We'll see what happens, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Sure, even if sometimes you can't, you do what you can, and on the weekends you can really pump. And again, I know. Look. I have a strategy that I discovered years ago by God's mercy, and because when I was very young, I didn't do well in school at all, and I was good in math, and that was about it. Math came very easy to me, but everything else I just wasn't good in. But when I realized a couple of things, and I don't remember how I learned this or what, but I realize I don't have to remember anything. I do not work on memory of anything. I don't care about anything. All I want to worry about is, do I understand it? I don't let one dot, one tittle, one word, one phrase go by that I don't understand if I'm studying something. Mm. And as long as I understand what's being done, that's all I have to do is understand it. It'll be in there somewhere, banging around in your brain, so to speak, but you'll pull it out sometimes when it's, and the more you spend time with it, of course, all of a sudden, the more it flows out of your mouth, But so the thing is that you want to go through this, you can go through it relatively quick, just don't let anything go by that you don't understand.
Okay.
And if you have to ask a question, just make a note where this is and write the question down and continue on. And then come on a Monday night program and you're going to ask the question concerning a situation. Maybe I should be able to probably answer that. Now, after that, I wanted to see how many there was. Okay, let's go to the course, Court Access in the Common Law. We only got a couple of people in the in the queue, by the way, and that's why we're spending some time, a long time here with Mike. But it's also a good case to talk about, because this can work in so many cases, the things we're talking about. Okay, but let's go to the recorded courses, okay? And let's get the number we've got. I'm just going to try to go through here kind of quickly and count them. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 24. So you, in 20, if you do one a day, in 24 days, you can get through the whole course. And if you spend the weekends, do two on a week each week, you know, two on each day, or two extra ones on one day to weekend, you know, get through a little quicker. So in theory, within 30 days, you easily can kind of hear the whole course and see it. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of playing. Now, here's all the MP3s, but then your MP3 player or your phone, your smartphone, it makes people stupid. You can put in one of them.
Yeah, I agree.
You're smart now, okay? You can use a smartphone to actually become smart, okay? So if I was still in business, I'd have a smartphone. No doubt about it. But I'm not in business, so I don't have one. And even though I do what I do, the last thing I want to do is be on a phone. So these MP3s will really assist you. You know, I play MP3s in my car all day long. I mean, I'm surprised in the course of a week, just doing a lot of short runs, I'm surprised on how much I get through. You know, I went through the Anti-Federalist Papers twice. I went through the Federalist Papers. And now I'm doing a study that it was my first Bible study ever, this study of Mark. It's a study of the harmony of all four Gospels, using Mark as the pivot point to do that study. And if anybody's interested in that, you can find this under Education Starts Here, and you can come down to, I believe it's under here, Harmony of the Gospels. So anybody interested, this is the most powerful. I was blessed to be able to find this. Within 6 months of coming to the Lord, it was back in the 70s, I believe. Probably mid-70s. I found this study. You know, I found this teacher. And I listened to this study, and it just blew me away. I mean, it gave me such a great understanding of the Bible. I mean, you get the meat of the word, not the milk. You get the meat of the word in this study. So anyway, this is my first Bible study that I fell underneath of this great teacher. And
Harold, yeah, Harold Campion. I used to hear him on the radio many years back.
He was probably one of the greatest Bible teachers of our time. He passed, I think, in 2011, somewhere around there anyway.
Mm.
Anyway, you got a lot of stuff here we've given you, and let's talk again next week some more.
Okay, I'm going to study quite a bit, and once again, thanks for all your help. It is deeply appreciated.
Okay. All right, it's 10 o'clock. You want to take the mic to Rod, and I'll hang around for a little bit?
Let me crawl back in my chair.
Yeah, crawl back in your chair.
I have to get up and walk. I can't sit there that long.
You're in a new environment now. I was watching you on the program there the other day, last week.
Oh, my fake background?
Yeah. It blurs out every once in a while.
Yeah. that's by virtue of Ollie. Ollie's got green screens and everything. I go do these preformed things, and that's as best as I could do.
Well, you know, if you go get a green screen, they're not that expensive. You can get, you know how you get, you've seen the screens I have, the white screens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I got one on a tripod, and I got one that hangs off the ceiling.
Yeah.
You could buy them in green, I'm sure. I mean, I got
to
believe.
You can go to the dollar store, and you can buy green sheets.
If that works, I guess that would work.
That's how Ollie's is, man.
Make sure you don't have any wrinkles in it, I guess, you know.
I don't know. I don't know how critical that is, but
yeah, I don't know. So I could.
I mean, I don't look at what they're doing with it. I don't even have a green screen.
Yeah.
With the one I'm using, but that's computer generated, so.
Yeah. All right. Crazy. Once you take, I haven't touched anything yet. Make sure you hit the right button here now, not the end.
Hang on, I
hit the wrong one. They should have done this a little differently. But
well, if I hit next question, who's going to come up? Ross? Mike is up now?
Get Ross, yeah. Hit next and you'll get Ross.
Okay, let's see what happens.
And again, we only got one other person after Ross.
Hello, John.
Comment, get into
Hello,
the
Ross.
I'm here. All right.
I'm here. You hear me?
Go ahead.
You follow me out of the water.
If we organize the community safety, should we also create a citizenship process committee?
No, because we already are citizens.
Yeah, so that's a corporate citizen. Yes, citizen.
No, we're not corporate citizens. They can try to play games with words and make things mean something else, and over time people believe. Look, they convinced the people that we're a democracy. Just think about that, okay? They've convinced the people we're under civil law. Think about that. They convinced the people that if you're a citizen, that you are under the civil law and all that. That's all untrue. The United States Supreme Court, not the United States, the U.S. Constitution uses the word citizen 7 times in it. So we're citizens. And as a matter of fact, it gave the authority to the U.S. government to perform the citizenship. So if anybody comes into this country, if they get their citizenship, process through the United States government.
Yes. Yes.
And then you are a citizen of every state as you drive through the states.
That's a state national.
No, that's a citizen of the United States. They can play all the games they want. They haven't changed that. Maybe the 14th Amendment might have tried to change that, but it's obscure, even if it did.
So why you have the State Department has an application process, you say, no, you're not a U.S. citizen.
I am a U.S. citizen. I know people are teaching people not to be U.S. citizens. I know people are teaching people to give up your citizenship. And I'll tell you right now, if you did give up your citizenship and they really wanted to screw around with you, they can say, hey, let's deport this guy. He's not a citizen of the United States. Where are you going to go? You'd be living on a ship or in an airport. Did you ever see that movie on the airport?
You could say there's a corporate citizenship and then there's a sovereign.
There's no corporate citizenship. It doesn't exist anywhere in law. I do realize that in 1871, through the Organic Act, they created the U.S. Inc. But right from there, it's a fraud, and everything built upon it is a fraud. And since it's a fraud from the beginning, the fruit of the poisonous tree, the whole thing is meaningless. Everything's been built upon that. Anything built upon that is not done.
That's basically that's what the American Assembly is doing right now.
The American what?
Assembly.
The assembly.
Which assemblies?
American Assembly. They're teaching the process to change your citizenship.
Oh, that's the name of the group, American Assembly? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to tell
you. We should look into that.
Yeah, no, that all that stuff. We have looked into a lot of that stuff. We may not have looked too deeply into the citizenship, but look at all of that stuff is just
all the same stuff that it always was.
Yeah, it's all going to get you in trouble. There's no need for it. They're playing games with words. They change the meaning of words. Look at here's something you really have to realize and think about. Okay, and this is a fact. Reality is the way one perceives it. Everybody sees reality a little bit differently, but we do share a reality. And reality is the way one perceives it. And if you perceive that you're a citizen and a lot of people believe that they're citizens and that they're U.S. Inc. citizens, well, then they believe that. That's their reality. But it's not necessarily the true reality. The true reality is that they never did anything anywhere to create this other citizenship. All they did is change the meaning of words, just like they did with democracy. You know, when the democracy, it was the Federalist that was anti-republic, okay? It was a group of people that kind of grabbed control of it. They didn't, and they called themselves Federalists, and they were claiming certain things in opposition to what we ended up with. And in 1800, Jefferson became the president, and I believe it was 1800. And Jefferson said in his inaugurational speech, he said, "We are all Republicans and we're all Federalists." That kind of blew them out of the water at that point, because they were trying to say, he was the leader of a Republican Party, trying to pin a party on him. They were the leaders of a Federalist Party. And then in 1801 or 1802, the Federalists morphed into the Democratic Party. And ever since then, they've worked day and night to change our republic into a democracy. And they've convinced the whole world that we are a democracy. I mean, Supreme Court justices believe we're, many of them, not all, believe we're a democracy. Presidents believe we're a democracy. Even Trump believes we're a democracy. A lot of people believe we're a democracy. We're not a democracy. I mean, it's repugnant to the our government, way of government. And if you go read Federalist Paper number 10, it makes it absolutely clear our founding fathers wanted nothing to do with a democracy.
Yes, I feel like the code and subchapters of that code about definition of citizenship is their version of transferring us from a natural land citizen to a
Russ, you were born here in the United States, correct?
Yes, we are born on the United States land.
And your were both your parents citizens when you were born?
Yes, but they gave it the birth certificate up to the state.
No. You were born on the earth here in the United States.
And yes.
If your parents were born in the United States, if your parents were citizens of the United States the day you were born, whether they were citizens by coming in from another country or being born here themselves, irrelevant. Then you're what's called a natural-born citizen, okay?
Yeah, but why do you have a birth certificate?
You're a natural-born, that's irrelevant. That's a game they play. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh.
They'll never bring that up in court. I'd like to hear them bring that up in court. That'd be really interesting to hear that. Believe me, there's nothing there. Okay, the fact that you have a birth certificate, well, we have to think about that now because we do have birth certificates, whether we should continue that way or not, I don't know.
Well, it's a bond, and they trade it on the market, John. It's a lot deeper than that.
That's a game they play, though. It has nothing to do with his citizenship.
I understand that, but, you know, basically, if you're going to float a bond on me, is that not technically my bond?
Well, they turned us into chattel, and they give us escrow accounts, and then they go through all this other crap and garbage, and then they do the mortgage game as if you have to pay it back, and the banks don't have no skin in the game, and they don't put nothing up, yet they collect the money, they make a fat profit, and once you send them the first check, you're in the game, and that's it.
How do you fix that problem?
Don't pay the first check. Go get a mortgage, don't pay the check. Say, it has nothing to do with you. Of course, it's going to be a battle with the crooked judges and court systems. You won't be able to defeat it. On the other side of devolution, you'll be able to defeat that.
It is basically when you get back the control over the court system to...
Everything that has taken place built upon the U.S. Inc. is gone. Everything that President Biden has done is just the day Trump takes office back. That's all like it never happened. It just disappears. It's gone. At the stroke of one pen, it's gone. As a matter of fact, maybe everything going back to a particular president, and I don't know which president that would even be, maybe everything would be gone. We can maybe go back all the way to 1871 because everything has been in ink since then. And if it's been in an ink since then, everything since then is unlawful. So, but remember, you were born here in the United States. That makes it very powerful. You're a citizen of the United States. You're a citizen of the state you're in.
Because God is first, people is second, and government is last.
What's last?
Government.
Okay, yep. I put a lot more in front of that before I put government in there. But in any event, you're right. I would agree with that conclusion.
Means the state.
Hey, Ross, what's the name of the organization? What's the name of the organization teaching you this? It's an assembly?
Yeah, American Assembly.
You know, G.R. Mobley makes he goes into this a bit about the assemblies and how it's an artifact of English law, and it's really not a part of it. So these general assemblies, has some objection?
No, it's not a General Assembly. It's just an American Assembly, but it's trying to teach you the process they created.
So it's not a General Assembly, all right.
Okay. No.
Bear in mind, here's the problem. There are a lot of people on the Internet teaching a lot of things. And when I first started looking into a lot of things, I gave some of these people some credit, thinking that they had done research, thinking, well, obviously they knew more about things than I knew, and they were opening my eyes to a lot of things, and I believed a lot of stuff. But the day came when I had to start doing my own research, because as soon as we started building the website and started to put information on there, well, yeah, over time we started to realize we have to be accountable to whatever it is that we teach here. And so we have to make rock solid sure that what we're talking about is right and true. Not that it's perfect. From time to time we do error, but we have been founded to correct our errors as time goes on, because it doesn't make sense to build upon a false foundation. And so everything, you know, look at Jefferson said it greatly. He said, question everything, even the existence of God. And I agree 100% with that. Even the existence of God. You know, that's how I found the Lord Jesus Christ, is I questioned him. I came one day and questioned, who is this guy? Yeah, I didn't put it that way, but in my mind I was thinking, is he who he says he? I didn't even know who he said he was to begin with. I guess the Son of God went back in those days. Eventually I come to realize he's God incarnated. It was the visitation, okay? And so by questioning it and going to see for myself, I discovered truth. Truth is consistent all the way through, no flaws. I mean, once in a while there appears to be apparent contradiction, but as you dig deeper and deeper and look harder and harder and go down all the rabbit holes and do your studying on whatever issue it is, either you'll find harmony or you'll find disharmony. And as long as you keep finding harmony, you're on solid ground.
Okay.
On any issue, no matter what it is. But even the existence of God.
I mean, because I heard a story this guy told about a woman got stopped by a police officer and they scanned her car passport and drive past, say, go ahead, you not be prosecuted at all.
I don't understand the question. Try it again.
I said the they were telling the story that a woman just got the whole passport and she wasn't prosecuted for speeding on the road.
She had a passport, you think?
Yes. Yes, passport. Yes.
Well, I would first of all question the validity of the story to begin with, because I don't know how that would even matter to anything. A cop wouldn't even realize that. Look, the cops are so dumb, they don't know anything. All they know is what they're told. They're taught, they're trained to look for code violations. That's what they're trained to do, up and down, because they're there to make money. They don't even realize that their purpose is really to make money. When they make an arrest, it's a citizen arrest. That person isn't really truly under arrest until it gets to the sheriff. That's when they become legally arrested. They're detained.
Yes, she was never arrested.
Yeah, I know, but the point is none of those people are intelligent enough to even think on those terms, on those levels, so I doubt the story is true.
You mean?
If you tell me they went into the courts and they did that, I still have a problem. I've been into too many courts that I don't know any court that would fall for that. I mean,
I was just saying, they scanned the passport and they say, go, no prosecution.
Yeah, I don't believe the story. I would question that. I'd like to see proof of that. I want to see the story somewhere. That's just hearsay, and I'm sure it doesn't even exist in a newspaper or anything.
Even if it is true, even if the story is true, it's this corporate system that I don't want operating in my country. So I don't care if the police are into it. I don't care if the judge is into it. It's a corporate fraud. And they should be held accountable for imposing this fraud on us. Well, you denounced, or you got rid of your citizenship, so now you can drive around with a passport? That's not part of my law in my country. See what I'm saying?
I don't know a cop that wouldn't detain you to rescue, at least at minimum, give you a ticket for it, at bare minimum. And they like to even arrest you for that kind of thing. Hey, Gerard, remember when we were up in Albany and my what was it? I don't remember whether it was.
Registration was out.
Right, and the cop was threatening if I drove it, I'd go to jail or something.
Yeah, he was going to impound it and tow it and all this other stuff.
Okay, he was going to impound the car and stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it done because I had to go back down to my county. I forget what it was. Couldn't get it done there.
Yeah, he said, motor vehicles right down the street. Go down there and don't let me see you getting this car without a new registration. We get the motor vehicle. We walk, I don't know how many blocks down. We get there, and then we find out that the car's not in John's name. It's in his son's name.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
So you couldn't register. So we had to do a commando attack and sneak, get in that thing, and boom out of there, which we made it.
So we were inside the what do you call it?
Parking garage.
Yeah.
On the wall there, and so he made us park next to the guard. He said, "Move that car over there so he can walk." You know, he probably said, "Keep an eye on this, make sure it doesn't go." You know.
And I guess he wasn't paying attention, huh?
Well, he sent us so far up the road, right up the road. It took us so long to get back, he got tired of waiting for us.
Well, no, it was actually in the building, I'm pretty sure. Because that's where
I know, but he parked it next to the shed.
Right.
And he was parked in that. That's where we met him in there. That's how he found out.
No, they were still there, and we kind of snuck out right past him. He didn't even realize it.
Well, I don't think the cop was there. I think the guy was there that knew. I don't know.
Well, whatever.
All I know is we got a clean break. Clean break, bro.
Yeah. Now we're fugitives, right?
Yeah, exactly. Shut
you needed the registration to be able to drive, but you couldn't drive to go get your registration. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
Well, yeah, it was expired. You know, here's more stupidity. I went to get something notarized once, and my license had expired, and they wouldn't notarize it. Because it was expired, and I said, "Did I expire with it? I mean, look, it's still me. What difference does it make? You know?"
Yeah, this is the letter of the law, and that's what they follow. And just as the Bible says, the letter of the law kills; the spirit of the law gives life.
There's nothing more unjust than the letter of, especially their law.
Exactly.
Now you know how dead men vote. You experience it.
Yeah.
Oh, because we they call that maritime law and the law of the sea. And in the eyes of the law of the sea, you are dead. That's how they interpret that.
Right.
How do they interpret it? What's this? Say it again, Ross.
The law of the sea.
The law of the sea, okay.
That's maritime law and that kind of thing.
That's maritime law or, yeah, okay.
Yes.
And what about it?
They think you're dead because you haven't claimed your birth certificate in that.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about, but...
That means that's what the attorneys think you are dead because you haven't claimed your documents they created for you when you filled out the registration, birth registration form for a live birth certificate.
Sorry. They're applying that law here on the land. The law is on the land, and they do apply a lot of that on that way. And we're chattel, so we're just livestock, and it's a stupid game, but it's
and the Constitution actually mitigates that, anyways. In Section 9 of the Constitution, talks about capitation tax.
From their perspective, the Constitution has been abrogated through Rule 2. And, of course, it really didn't abrogate.
Yeah, that's unconstitutional, but they don't think it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, Rule 2 abrogated the common law. And if it abrogated the common law, they claim that. It doesn't really, though. All it does is it created a new court system inside our court of justice. And then they got doorkeepers there preventing you from getting into a court of justice. So they haven't really abrogated it. They just hit it, okay? And they place something in its place. And then if the court that they're in, all right, which is civil law court, they don't acknowledge the Constitution. That's why we have so many problems there, because the Constitution is part of common law. You see, that wasn't created by legislators. It wasn't created by them. It wasn't created by government. It was created, we the people, ordained and established this constitution for
them. Because we the people are from God, basically, what that means. Well, we God created people to create our own law.
Yeah, God gave us the authority through the, through the Declaration of Independence, okay? And that was, the Declaration of Independence was actually a covenant with God. We wanted to live under His rules, nature, under nature's, the laws of nature and nature's God. And in return, living under God's rules and trying to be obedient to God under His rules, that gave us a blessing of liberty. And if you go into the Constitution, one of the six requirements of government is to secure the blessings of liberty. I think that's the last one, the sixth one. So there are six points that all, one or more has to be appreciated whenever they write law. But again, we get back to the fact that God gave us the authority to create government and to have liberty. And then we did that through the Constitution. But remember, when they got rid of common law, they got rid of the common law documents. And that's why these people think that they're okay, because they got a game of words going on. But that game of words...
They like to do that. That's the game.
But it's going to find quite a few of them at the end of a short rope, and the rest of them in a dark place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gerard, you want to take the next question? And as a matter of fact, there's no one else in the queue, so...
We have a next question? Oh, yeah. What is that? I got to get my glasses on. Blazing Game John.
I'll get a drink. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Blazing Game John.
Non-alcoholic, by the way.
Well, that's quite a handle. I mean, Blazing Game John, you're on. Blazing... Game John.
You may not know. Maybe someone else's phone. 612 area. Is that 612? Or is that an 8? That's 6.
He's been up there a long time. Blazing Game John. He's a gamer.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Now I can.
Okay,
there you are.
Sorry. Okay. This is Kathy and John in Minnesota. We're just calling from John's phone today.
Okay.
Have one. So that warrant that was... for my arrest, for because I missed the hearing on the bogus alleged traffic citation from 2020 when a piece of ice allegedly fell off my window and broke somebody's. So we went to deal with that today. Went out to the court, and when I talked to the judge in the courtroom, I mentioned that I wanted the assigned complaint from whoever was making this accusation against me. And the judge said they don't have to have a signed complaint. So that's my first question. What do you think about that, John?
If they don't have a signed complaint, they got to have a cop that witnessed it, I think.
They can't necessarily be that kind of a witness. Well, no cop was a witness anyway. But no, without a sworn affidavit, there is no court case. And if
how do they know?
The cops
the judge says that's not true. They don't need to have one. That's what they said. So I'm going to be...
Is this a town court or a state court? I don't remember.
It's probably state.
What's the name of the court?
I don't know. I don't have the thing with me right at the moment.
Well, she was in local court, but I'm sure she's
it's
in
traffic
state now with her
class
life.
Criminal is what it says.
Right.
Traffic criminal.
Then it's not a state court.
Well, what is it then?
No traffic. No state court's going to handle traffic tickets. The town court will probably handle it. Even a county court probably wouldn't even handle it because.
Well, we got the thing right out in the car. When I run out, we're just leaving a restaurant. Let me pull it out from the car.
You have to write a paper. You've taken the course. go through the paperwork.
Yeah.
You'll find some stuff in there. You know, basically, you let it be known and go through the process to tell them, hey, without a sworn affidavit, there is no court case. How can a court case possibly exist without and you have a right to face your accuser. They're accusing you of something. So there is another thing. And that's a principle of law. And it, again, it's not really right, but it is part of the law. They use it all the time. So that's what
you They told me to call the prosecuting attorney for the city. So that's what I'm going to do.
That's where you're at, probably. A city court. What city are you in? That court.
I don't think it's city. It's county, if anything else. Because it was an older county.
Call the city attorney. Then you're in a city court. If they told you to call the county attorney, then you'd be in the county court. If they told you to call the town attorney, then you'd be in a town court. So you're in a city court. What's the name of the city?
Blaine, but we were in, the hearing was in Anoka County. They have several cities.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Listen very carefully. If they told you to call the city attorney, whatever city that is, that's the court you're in. You're in a city court.
You get written a traffic ticket for the municipality that you're in when you break the law. So
I know now here in Poughkeepsie they have a court. It's a criminal traffic court, and it's the city of Poughkeepsie, okay, which is the next town down from you, or the city. There's a city of Poughkeepsie. There's a town of Poughkeepsie. It's the next town down. And from where I live, and that's a city court. City court has that's a nisi prius court. You have to agree. You're here by special appearance. Number one, okay, challenging jurisdiction. Number two, number three, there is no warrant. There is no affidavit to file a case. Is this a criminal case? Is it? What kind of case is it? You got to ask. There's all kinds of stuff. So call the city attorney and. Get to find out what's going on.
Okay, then my other issue, back to the probate court issue. There's a hearing on Thursday, the 24th, this week. I know what John told me to do. I just want to confirm because we're talking to attorneys, and they're so. I just want to confirm, John. We're supposed to hire an attorney. An attorney that's experienced with wills and that's a litigator, and you said I'm supposed to tell the attorney I want to take it to a federal court for cause, and the cause is that we've been denied due process. Is that correct, that what we're supposed to be doing? And
again, I'm trying to remember which it was. I know we established what it was last time we spoke. The court that you're in is a state court or a federal court?
State
court. Then you're going to go to the state court. You're going to go to the state court in your county, and you're going.
But
to...
no, because there was wills in two different states, John. That's why you said it would have to be a federal court.
That's right.
There's a will in Iowa and there's a will in Minnesota. The will in Iowa is the one that is in force, the 2022. They're trying to get a 1987 will to go through. So the reason for the hearing is they want to dismiss the 2022 will in Iowa. That's what the hearing is about.
So let me go back and review a little bit so other people can get a little educated in this too. If you were in the same state, it would be a state court. Okay, but since you're in a different state, I forgot that one will is in one state and the other will in the other state. So if you're in a different state, when you have two people against each other in two different states, then the federal court has jurisdiction on that. So, yes, so you have to find, look, here's a problem here. A lot of people who are, attorneys, and they're attorneys on the state level and they don't have experience in the federal courts, they don't have a clue on how things work. And maybe some do, of course, if they get a little educated in an area and they learned on that, fine. But generally speaking, they don't. And And I've seen lawyers take cases to the federal court and throw that immediately. Why? First of all, the jurisdiction they didn't understand, or they filed the wrong part of the case that the federal court can't hear. So you have to make sure that you find a lawyer that you understand the situation. Number one, that you have a will that's later than another will, and they're applying it in another state, and because it's in a different state, the Constitution requires that it be handled in the federal court. You got to make sure that guy can handle the case in the federal court, and he shouldn't have a problem with it because the argument is about a will, and it is two people in different states. So there you go. That shouldn't be a problem, and he should be able to do it. But again, you know, attorneys will take on jobs that they're not capable of doing.
Yeah, the one attorney wanted a $10,000 retainer just for the hearing on Thursday, and then there's 5 days of hearings starting on the 29th. I can't afford that. I can't afford $10,000, let alone 5 days of hearings, so that's why I'm getting it out of there.
Okay, again, that's why our children should be learning court access and the common law, in school, as they're going through school, so they can take care of their own business. They don't need a bar attorney. And if they're not a good litigator, they can't speak very well, if they're not a good speaker. And if we get our schools back right, our children should learn how to speak. That we should be learn to be able to get up on a stage and talk and so on and so forth. I know my son, my youngest son, went to a Christian school, and every child had to get up on the stage, give speeches or sing a song and do things. And so we also learn that as children. Now, we haven't learned that as children, so now it's up to us to get the education outside of the normal system. Of course, that's why we have the common law. Got all this sound in the background. Anyway, you're really going to have to buckle down and study the case if you want to get there to the federal court and study the process and the court access process. And if you don't,
damn it, John,
you're going to spend a lot of money on the lawyer.
Come right up there.
But now you can talk.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Did you get all that?
Yes, I think so.
Just so you know, when you go into federal court, they charge you a lot of money. The other one was for the court case that you're already in, and he wanted to charge you $10,000 for it, right?
The lawyer wanted to charge me $10,000 to appear at the hearing on Thursday. He thought it was an in-person hearing. So he was an Iowa attorney needing to travel to Minnesota, and he's talking about 2 days in a hotel and all this kind of crap. But it's a virtual hearing. It's a virtual hearing.
Obviously, he doesn't understand what's going on, and he doesn't understand the federal case. So.
And he was also telling us that we had to finish out the case in state court before you could go to federal court, and that's absolutely not true.
Like I said, they don't know what they're talking about. These bar attorneys that practice law on a state level have no clue about the federal level.
Plug it in and plug it back in. Right there. Jesus, let her do it.
All right, back to you.
And then I got another question. Now I forgot what it was. Oh, the Iowa case found out that was dismissed. Irvin's will is in Iowa, and that lawyer withdrew without even telling me, and then there was a hearing. The last hearing was on the same day that I had a hearing in Minnesota on the stupid traffic thing. So, and the stupid traffic thing, it couldn't be continued again. So I filed a request for a continuance because I can't be in two states, two hearings, and the judge in Iowa... This is what the one lawyer told me. I didn't look at the case myself, but he said that the Iowa judge dismissed the case because I didn't show up for the hearing.
Well, you go back to the judge and talk to the judge and tell him what happened. And look, you're not going in pro se, though. You're going in with a lawyer, right?
What did you ask, John? I didn't have a lawyer when I requested a continuance. I just wrote it out myself.
All right. And filed it.
And now he's saying I didn't show up in court, so he dismissed the case.
Did your lawyer show up in court?
I didn't have a lawyer. I told you my lawyer withdrew.
Okay. So you're a pro se at this point. You go to the judge. They've got to give you a little leeway on this, and they should be able to open the case back up. So it's not a big deal. You can go talk to the judge and explain the situation. You can go talk to the judge. Go down to the courthouse, and you find where his office is at, and his courtroom, depending how they run those things out there. And you can speak to his clerk, and you tell the clerk, I want to talk to the judge. They'll ask you before. You'll explain it. They may go in and talk to the judge and come back with the answer without even talking to the judge. But the bottom line is, you're coming in pro se. You know nothing about what's going on. You just tell them the story. They got to give you, and if they don't let you back in court, then you file an appeal.
Then I file what?
An appeal. Appeal this decision is stupid. They got to give you extra leeway because you don't have a lawyer. And so they got to give that extra leeway to you.
Okay. Thank you, John.
All righty.
Appreciate it.
Study, because you're going to spend a fortune if you're going to get someone to represent you in the federal courts, I'll tell you right now. And because they love to hit you 10, 20 grand to put up front to go in there. Now, a guy practicing on a state court going into the federal court, you may get them a lot cheaper, but the thing is, they really understand what they're doing.
Well, I don't have any money. I'm having former pauper status in the court, so I don't know how that's going to happen then.
You can file for that in the court that you're going to now. And
but you said I'm going to federal court. Can file for former paupers in federal court? You're talking about the lawyer going to want $20,000.
Again, I don't think you're going to, because it's a personal case, you're not going to get that in the federal court. You're right. Probably not. I don't have too much knowledge on this, on the way they work this system on that. I don't know. On a criminal case, of course, it's one thing. But on a case that's not a criminal case, you know, they're not going to give you a lawyer.
Well, we got a hearing on Thursday, so I need to know what to do. I mean, we're interviewing lawyers right now. You can't. It's not fair to tell me to take it to federal court for cause and then tell me they're not going to take this case in federal court. Which is it?
I thought you couldn't afford a lawyer.
I give you a treat,
please. If you're interviewing lawyers, then you can afford a lawyer or you can't afford a lawyer.
I can't afford a lawyer. John was going to mortgage his house and try to get the $10,000, but I don't have any money.
Okay, so you're not interviewing lawyers then?
She is. I am interviewing lawyers.
You got me confused. You say you can't afford a lawyer, but you're interviewing lawyers. Or are you going to be able to borrow money or something to do this, or what? Because no lawyer is going to do this for free. And you're not going to get a court-appointed lawyer on a case that's not a criminal case, I don't think. I've never heard of it anyway. I don't have enough experience in that area to know. So. But I don't believe you would.
Well, then... They're going to throw out the Iowa will if we don't appear in court. I can't let the hearing happen on Thursday and not have a lawyer.
Well, I don't know what you want me to do. You've got to go as yourself and make the battle. You know, you go in and you tell the judge the way it is. Now we're talking about, the court that you're going into that's in the other state where you have the will, correct? Or are you talking about...
No. Brian, my husband's son, who murdered him, Brian is has right. filed probate with a 1987 will.
I know that. He's trying to get... Stop. I know that. The point is you go and there's so many different courts, you know, and again, you're not. This is the only thing I'm thinking about. But the thing is this, if you're going to that court, I don't even know what to tell you because they're just going to keep ramming down the process. They're just going to railroad you down. Okay, you got to go to the other court to stop that court. That's the only solution you have, and I told you that. You have to go to the federal court in the other state, file for the will and challenge the will in the other state. That's why it's a federal case, and then that stops the process of them continuing spending your money and giving the money away. That stops everything.
Okay, I just thought you just said that it's going to cost a lot of money in federal court.
Yes, it will. When you get to go get a federal, when you're going to get a lawyer that practices on a federal level, it probably will be. But if you get a lawyer that practices on a state level and his practice is in wills, you know, he may be able to work things out in the federal court because he's focusing in on the fact that they're debating a will. So he should have the knowledge of being able to fight that position. But again, they're not a federal lawyer. And there are a lot of problems with lawyers trying to go into the federal court for the first time. And once they get around a couple of times to get to the School of Hard Knocks, maybe he's been in there before. Who knows? But the thing is it is a focused thing. It's on a will. So he should have the expertise to make the argument on the will. And the case has got to be going into a federal court, and the federal judge will acknowledge that. So there's no argument of jurisdiction. There's no argument of the proper venue. There's no problem with the argument of, whether they have personam jurisdiction. They got all the jurisdiction is going in, so hopefully he should be able to do well. So they'll be a lot cheaper than if we're trying to get a litigator from a federal court. So, but you're still going to have to pay for a lawyer. And you want to get someone who understands wills.
So when you say to federal court, I want to make absolutely sure I understand this.
Absolutely.
Does it matter what state this is filed in to go to federal court? Does it matter what state?
It's got to be the state where the will was drawn and where you're at. Yeah, that's what makes it federal. If you're in the same state as the children are in, then it's a state court. You're not going to federal court. But because it's in a different state, that's why the federal court has a jurisdiction in all cases where an individual is from different states. That's what the Constitution is.
So it has to be a lawyer in Iowa. Irvin's will was drafted in Iowa. The hearing on Thursday is in Minnesota.
Exactly. And that's why you want to shut that court down by going to the one in Iowa. The federal court will cause that case to cease and desist until the decision is made on the proper will.
So then I need to have an Iowa lawyer?
Well, I would imagine. Why would you want to get a lawyer outside the state? Right? So... You
when
get
you say outside the state,
yeah. He's talking about Iowa.
Irvin resided in Iowa. That's he fled for his life from Minnesota.
Exactly. So you're going.
I was living with Irvin when Irvin was living in Iowa. Now that Irvin is dead, I am back in Minnesota.
Okay. Well,
but the federal. I still have a post. My address is still in Iowa. That's where all these...
So your position and thinking is that at this point you're visiting in one state, but you're still focused on being in another state, and you might want to get a resident out there. Not that I think that's important, but I don't think it is.
Well, that's why I have a P.O. box and an apartment in Iowa.
Well, then.
So when you filed... Iowa probate thing.
Stop. That's it. You just settled the problem. You got an apartment. You're in Iowa. You got a P.O. box. It's done. You file it in that federal court. They now got to come to this court. It'll be by phone anyway. But they'll be able to come to court by phone, and that'll be that. Now, the argument
is... So I need to get an Iowa lawyer to file it in federal court in Iowa.
yes, you want to get a lawyer in Iowa, and you want to get potentially a lawyer that's close by that doesn't have to travel from one end of the state to the other. So you get someone local in the city or town.
Okay, but I tell them I want to file it in federal court so the judge that closed the case in Iowa because I didn't show up for the hearing when I had a hearing in Minnesota.
Well, I would test the knowledge of the lawyer to decide what lawyer I would want. I would say I want to file a case here in Iowa. I wouldn't say federal. I'd say I want to file a case here in Iowa to challenge a will. There's an older will from another state over there, and this is a latter will in this state. And I want to challenge that, see if he says that we need to be in federal court. Because if he thinks he's going to go to state court and file it, he's just going to waste your money because he doesn't understand that. Now, there's another side to that coin, okay? And that is, if you say to him, well, look, the Constitution, now you're going to educate the lawyer. He's going to feel like a dummy. But you'll have to educate him and say, look, if the Constitution says, when there's two individuals in two different states, it has to be fought in a federal court. The federal court has jurisdiction, okay? And he may say, okay, yeah, all right. You know, I don't know how he'd respond if he responded the other way. But the thing is, okay, even though he doesn't understand how the federal court system works, the problem in federal court is the jurisdiction. The jurisdiction changes from conversation to conversation. It's a different animal than the state courts, okay? So When you're in a federal court, okay, his argument is going to be on a will. So it becomes a law case, okay? There is no jurisdiction per se. There's no equity in this. How would I say? There's no code that would cover this. But that's okay. It's a court of law, which brings you very close to a common law procedure now. But it's a law case. As long as he understands the wills and the challenging of wills, and one will is older than the other will, so on and so forth, he should be able to litigate it. So you shouldn't have to worry too much that he doesn't understand how the jurisdiction works in the federal courts, because again, it's got to be court of law, and that's that. There's no other way to get around that. And that takes him out of the problem of moving from jurisdiction to jurisdiction as the conversation moves through the court.
So we've been reading up about venue.
Okay.
About venue, where to file probate. And everything, 100% of what we're reading, says it's where the person's domicile was. All these other lawyers are arguing about where did he die.
Mm-hmm.
He was kidnapped and taken up to Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, where he was murdered there. But that's not his domicile. His domicile, so that's what I'm arguing with all these lawyers. The venue is where his domicile was.
They're just blowing smoke away. That's all they're doing. Because the fact of the matter is you have an apartment in Iowa. You have an address in Iowa. You lived in Iowa. He was taken away, so you have an argument there, but irrelevant. The will was created in Iowa. And I'm an Iowan, and I'm taking them to court to challenge because their will is an earlier will. And once you establish that in that court, everything that court done is reversed. It's done. It's done away with. As long as the court decides in your favor. Now, I would not worry too much about trying to move into the common law in the sense of creating a court of record and going through all that, because it's just going to be procedural and the law is clear. Unless you let the judge decide, you're not going up against the status quo. So the judge has no skin in the game. He doesn't care who wins. He's going to rule probably the right way, unless he knows those people, but I'm sure he doesn't.
I'm very concerned about the time frame, John. This is happening on Thursday.
Hey, I can't do anything about the time frame. I'm just telling. I've been telling you for a couple of weeks that this is what you got to do.
No, you've been telling me throughout the whole course to get my education and make 6 months, and you're not ready to do any of this stuff. You've been telling me.
That's right, but then.
Telling me to wait, that I'm not educated enough. You've been saying that, challenge jurisdiction, and it's been the whole, since I waited since February, listening to you.
And now this court hearing is coming up on Thursday.
You know,
and I'm trying to get clarification one more time. I got 3 days to get this right.
Listen, people hear what they want to hear. You got to listen. I have changed my point of view on this as I thought about it and as the months have gone by. Because we've been discussing this for months. And I've come up with certain realizations, certain knowledge, certain strategies that I've given you. The bottom line is, if you're going to go into court to make your fight, it's going to be extremely difficult if you're going to do it yourself, unless you really have the experience.
Not going to do it myself. I am. There's a 0% I'm going to do it myself. So I'm going to
get
a lawyer. I just want to know for sure, once and for all, which state the lawyer has to be in, because I've got 3 days to do this in.
I already told you, I don't know, today alone, how many times, how you got to do this. And the bottom line is, this week you're telling me that you're going to get a lawyer. You've talked about trying to get a lawyer, but you couldn't afford a lawyer, so you've got to do it.
No, I asked you specifically last week what type of a lawyer. You said a litigator who does wills.
That's correct.
And yes. Then you said it doesn't matter if it's in Minnesota or Iowa. So I'm interviewing attorneys in both states.
But when I looked into it, I told you, because, again, this is outside my experience. I'm trying to help you. And I looked into it, and I realized and told you that it has to be in a federal court and that you have to fight it from a different state. And when you're two people from two different states, that requires the federal court to have jurisdiction. That's what the Constitution says. Once we established that, which was maybe a week or two or three ago, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks ago, maybe more, and it might even been in the course in opposed to a Monday night program, because we've discussed this so many times over months. And we go over the same thing over and over again. This simple thing, the bottom line, and I told you, you have to fight the will, okay? And I said,
I know that.
Well, hold on. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of the history. We were trying to discover the jurisdiction a month back or whatever it's been. And when I realized that this, okay, is a state court, so you take it into the state court, but it's a different court. You're in a probate court, so you got to move it into the state court because it's a will. It's an argument about a will, on which will is the valid will. That's what it's about. But then when I discovered, well, okay, the will is in a different state, and they're arguing the will in that state, and so then now it's two states. Then I discovered, well, okay, now you're going to have to go to the federal court. You know, I'm learning like you're learning. Don't think that I know everything, because I certainly don't, and I never claim to know, okay? And I told you in this case, you know, I don't have the experience on probate court. I have a little bit of knowledge, and logic takes me along the right way. And I also was trying to cope with the jurisdiction, and we worked the jurisdiction out. So that's the bottom line. If you got a lawyer, you're going to go into a federal court. I don't think, because it's an argument of a will, that you're going to have too much of a problem with a lawyer that is used to working on the state level and not the federal level, because you don't have to worry about the jurisdictions. Like I said, there's two sides to this coin on this situation, okay? The jurisdiction is clear. It's a court of law and the subject. There is
but
no,
what about venue? Again, they're claiming that he died in Minnesota.
I'm telling you this over and over again. The venue is the federal court. That is the proper venue. There is no other venue other than the federal court. That's it. And it's got to be in Iowa.
Okay. So I need an Iowa attorney that can file this in federal court.
Right.
And I have to do it all before Thursday.
The most important thing of this whole thing, even more than a lawyer that understands the federal court. Again, I told you there's two sides of this coin. Even a lawyer that understands the federal court, the most important thing, which will end up to be a lawyer that fights on the state level, probably, I would presume anyway, is a lawyer that understands and wills. Okay, that's the key. And you've got to be a litigator. And I can't believe it's going to take too many sessions. Although they do like to waste time, because, and the judge likes to waste time because he's doing favors to all of the lawyers, and so there's a lot of wasted time in court. But I don't know, with a will, I don't see that it could be a lot. You know, it's a matter of looking at two dates and seeing that this will is valid and that will is not valid. See if they got an argument against that. They're going to make an argument. There's no doubt about that. But they got to prove that argument. Your case is won on the paper. Okay, it's won on the paper. But if they make claims about that will, that somehow that will was done illegally or stressed out the person didn't know what they were doing, that kind of, they can make that case and prove that case, they have the potential of winning, but they got to prove that case.
They cannot, John.
I'm not getting into that. I'm just telling you that if it's on just paper and they don't have a case, then it's a slam dunk case. I don't see it as being something long-winded. That's my opinion, that's all it is an opinion.
I have basically 3 days to get a lawyer hired and get him to file this in federal court.
Right. Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, the other court. What is it? A hearing? What's going on in the other court? In 4 days. What's going on there?
On Thursday, the 24th, is a hearing to discuss. I don't even know how to call it, to throw out the Iowa will.
Okay, well, let them do what they want. Doesn't matter. Okay?
Well, the lawyer that wanted to charge me $10,000 said if I don't appear in there, I've lost the case.
Okay,
if I don't appear there, if I don't show up in the hearing.
In that court, well, then you show up at the hearing. I wouldn't say not to go to the hearing, but in that court, you're challenging it in a federal court, and you're saying that you have a valid will. So that's what you're going to be
doing. They're saying that I missed all this stuff. They had all these things. I requested a continuance. The last three hearings, I have not had a lawyer, and I've requested a continuance. So all this stuff that they scheduled was without a lawyer. So they're doing all this stuff, and now they're saying they're going to throw it out because I haven't been complying. I haven't been showing up to the hearings. I didn't go to the depositions. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So they're going to throw it out because I didn't abide by their scheduling order and all this crap, and I didn't have an attorney, and I requested a continuance, and they've never given me one.
All right. Well, look.
I requested a continuance so I could seek counsel.
Right, so they throw that out. What do you think that means? Is the case over now, and they walk away with the money and everything?
If I don't show up on Thursday, that's my understanding from what.
So you do have
the lawyer.
Well, I'd show up on Thursday. And try to get a lawyer before that to file in the other court and then bring that information to that court and tell them you're challenging the will. It's in federal court. You're opening up a federal court. That's the only way you're going to do it. But you should have done this a week or two ago. I know we've been talking about this for numerous weeks. So you should have done this already.
We're also trying to get criminal charges because you and all the other attorneys we've talked to have said if we can get criminal charges against Brian, it'll stop. That Kate, you yourself told me
we can get him impeached
and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to do everything. I'm working my butt off. I'm not sitting around doing nothing.
Well, you have to go to the sheriff for that. I told you that, but you said there was a problem.
And I had to get the warrant lifted from me. We drove up to Duluth on Friday, and it was just too risky that I was going to get arrested.
I can't control all these things for you. I can only give you some thoughts and ideas, okay? And you have to work it out. And yeah, the lawyer is a wise way to go if you can get the money up to do it. Definitely do it that way, because you're not going to be able to defend this in the court. Although they have to give you some leeway, but you know that only goes so far. And
it wouldn't hurt to get a Minnesota lawyer to appear with me on Thursday. Then
I don't know. If that's what you think you got to do. I don't know. You've waited so long on that. Can you afford a lawyer to go in with you?
I can't afford to lose the estate, John.
Okay, so you're going to be able to work.
I've got a valid will. I just need to know exactly what to do. You said when I hired a lawyer to take it to federal court, that the lawyer that I hire would know what to do to stop the hearing on Thursday. That's what you told me last week.
Well, I don't remember exact words that I told you. I don't think I told you exactly that. But you do need a lawyer. I told you to go move it into federal court. It shuts the other court down. That's what I told you, and I told you that for weeks.
Well, that's what I'm saying then. That's what I asked you, confirmed with you. That's what I want to do.
That's it. There's nothing
else. It's to move it to federal court for cause, and the cause is I've been denied due process.
I have no other things to tell you at this point. I've told you everything I know or could tell you. And you're going to shut the case now. If you can get a lawyer to go to the other court to try to do something there, because if they're going to end that case and make a decision, well, again, that once you're challenging it in the federal court, I don't know that that's the end of the day over there, because that court made a decision that way, okay? Because it was never decided on the valid will. And again, we're talking two different states, so that's a state court. They didn't have the jurisdiction to do that. It was the improper venue to be able to make that decision. At least that's what I would think. I don't know that for a fact, but when you're...
So you're absolutely certain to take it to federal court, I need an attorney in Iowa.
That's the only way I can think to do it, yes.
So when they go into federal court, they're federal court specific to each state then. Is that what you're telling me?
Federal courts cover everything, the whole United States. The thing is
well, then why couldn't a Minnesota lawyer take it to federal court to defend the Iowa will? Why couldn't a Minnesota lawyer do that?
Well, it would be a state court then. It wouldn't be a federal court if you're in the same state. I told you that before.
Okay. I got two other people here with me. We're just trying to understand this.
But she's right. A Minnesota lawyer, any lawyer could take it to federal court. I don't think it has to be in the state that the will.
No. If she's going to argue it in that state, she's talking about taking a lawyer from one state, bringing him into the other state. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about getting a lawyer in the state and then fight? Look, you can get a lawyer in the state and fight in the state court. You'd be much more powerful to fight in a federal court in the other state. That's what I think. That's my opinion.
Oh, she's saying, could she get a lawyer from where she lives and have him fight it in the federal court?
Well,
that
yeah.
That federal court is in a different state, but it's federal court.
Yes, that's the point. That when two people in two different states have a legal issue to resolve, then it becomes a federal court issue. The Constitution says when two people, one person is suing another person in a different state, then the federal court takes jurisdiction. That's the problem.
But any lawyer could sue that federal case, even if it was in another state. It's still federal. So it doesn't matter who the lawyer is representing her.
We found two really good lawyers in Minnesota.
You're not listening, and I'm going to tell you one more time, and I'm not going to tell you again. if you're going to battle this in a federal court in Minnesota, they're going to throw you out. Because they don't have jurisdiction.
That's not what she's saying.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
It's in federal court, and what state do they want you in?
It's not in federal court yet, Gerard.
It's in a state court. It's in probate court. And
right.
It's probate court is in Minnesota. The will and she has...
Correct. They threw out probate. We had probate court in Iowa, but they threw me out because I didn't appear at a hearing because I had a hearing in Minnesota the same day that couldn't be continued.
But...
So that's another...
Why would you be in probate court in Iowa when there's a probate court going on the same issue in Minnesota?
Brian filed his 1987 will in probate court in Minnesota. I filed Irvin's 2022 will in Iowa.
Stop now. I'm not going to go any further with this, but I'm going to tell you right now, at this point, it's a matter of an argument of a piece of paper, okay? And right now, when the court in Minnesota makes a decision and finalizes that thing, you could probably still argue it and seize, you know, stop that whole thing and turn it over. But if you're going to be fighting in one state against another state, you got to be in federal court. I can't be more clearer to you than that. You cannot go into the federal court in Minnesota, because if you go to the federal court in Minnesota, they don't have the proper venue. They're going to throw you out because you're in that state.
go to the state court. They're going to tell. Well, they're not even going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go to the state court. And remember, a probate court and a state court, even though it's a state court, it's not a. Again, we call it the Supreme Court in New York. I don't know what they call it in Minnesota. But you're going to the court that's a state, the state court within your county. You're arguing a piece of paper, the validity of a piece of paper. You're not arguing anything that's requirement for a probate, okay? You're arguing what piece of paper rules, okay? That's what you're arguing. And you are better off doing it from the other state, the federal court, and opposed to state court. That's my opinion. So you do what you want. You could do it in the state court there too, but again, it's a whole different story.
So in order to file it in federal court in Iowa, I need an Iowa attorney, an attorney that's licensed in Iowa, correct?
Yes, they can come from Timbuktu if they want. As long as they can practice law in Iowa, that'd be fine. But obviously you want to get someone close by that's not going to charge you an arm and a leg because they got to travel.
Well, you said you found two lawyers. Where are they?
I interviewed seven lawyers in Iowa. That's where I wanted to get an attorney in Iowa. Mm-hmm. All I got out of those seven lawyers was one that wanted to charge me $10,000 to appear at the hearing on Thursday. So now we started interviewing attorneys in Minnesota.
Right. And I'm willing to bet you the other six lawyers couldn't take the case because they can't practice in
We didn't get reach them. Okay. We didn't reach anybody except for the one.
I'm saying that's probably what would have been the case then anyway, you know, because you
the lawyer that we did reach, can I just tell you what he said? He said that Minnesota is the proper jurisdiction because he died in Minnesota. He disagreed with what all the other lawyers have said about domicile. So he said it doesn't matter. It's where he died. That's where it's got to be heard.
Well, but you have
I don't think he's right.
You have a case of the fact that he was, kidnapped.
Yes, he was.
Well, that makes a different story, doesn't it?
I sure think so.
So, again, you need to talk to a lawyer that will take your case and go into federal court that's a litigator and understands wills. It's that simple. And I can't tell you no more than that. That's my thinking. Now, can you fight it in Minnesota? Sure, I think you can. You take it into a state court then, and you get a lawyer in the state and do it there. But it's no longer federal because you're in the same state.
Okay. I think I understand. Federal court in Iowa is what I'm hearing you say.
Good luck.
That's what I'm thinking, and again, you know, this is my opinion. I am not God. I don't know all the answers to all these things, and again, you'll get lawyers saying two different things, and now you're going to get a judge that's going to be scratching his head, and, you know, who knows, you know, where the decision's going to go.
She already has lawyers saying two different things.
Yes, exactly.
This is the problem, exactly. You know, they go off of case law. Case law, common law. They go off case law. All they have to do is find a few cases that rule a certain way and say, hey, this is where it goes. And if the other person's brain dead and doesn't have enough cases to go against them, it's ridiculous. I don't even make those arguments. But they will. They will make those arguments. You know, my argument would be that things similar is not necessarily the same thing. All right, well, that's it. I can't give you any more information than that. Advice.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, John.
Good night.
Good night.
To the end of our program. Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday. Good night.
Yep.
Let me shut off this recording.
116.